Welcome to Parshas Beshalach, Tovshin Ayin Dalet. The parsha starts off the very first pasuk. Vayi Beshalach Paroi Esaom Veloinochom Elokim Derech Eretz Plishtim Ki Korev Hu. Hashem did not send guide the Jewish people directly to Eretz Plishtim, because it's very near. Ki Omar Elokim Pen Yenochem Ha'om B'Roisam Milchama V'Shova Mitzrayma. Since when they'll see war, they might regret and they might want to turn back to Mitzrayim. Therefore Vayasev Elokim Esa'om, Hashem takes them off route Derech HaMidbar Yamsuf. Therefore, as a result, he takes them to the Midbar, which is not Korev. So the pasuk is telling us Hashem had a problem. What was the problem? That he was afraid the Jewish people, when they see war, they get frightened, they will wish to escape, and they will wish to come back to Mitzrayim. A solution to Hashem's problem was to take them far off in the Midbar, which is not near to Mitzrayim. The question is, can we not find easier solutions to the problem? Hashem can do anything. Therefore, solution number one could be, who says we have to have war? Hashem could organize, we don't need war. He could make our enemies be afraid and flee. So you don't have to have war. Number two, Hashem, who could do anything, he could make it that we won't be afraid. We'll have war, but we'll not be afraid. We won't run away. Well, says the Stipe in the Birkas Peretz, point number one we learn from here, that Hashem does not wish to make life easy. We are here for Nisyonos. We're here for trials. Of course Hashem could take all our obstacles away, but that's not the point of life. The point of life is Lefum Tzara Agra, that things should be difficult and we should overcome our difficulties. So that's not what Hashem wants, to just resolve the problem by making us not being afraid. No, there will be war and you will be afraid, and therefore you may want to flee. That's point number one. Point number two, so what was the solution? So even though we have nisyonos, we have trials, but Hashem is giving us a solution, and it's a message for us. What is the solution? Don't be near. Keep far away. The Gemara in the Dorim says, "Beidna Gemara in Dorim, Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Beidna the Yetzer Hara, Leis the Mat Karalei Le Yetzer Toif. When the Yetzer Hara comes up, no one remembers the Yetzer Toif." What does that mean? It means that b'shas hanisoyon, as if there's no more yetzer tov. We need to be aware that when the time when the yetzer hara, when there's a strong taiva to do something, we kind of forget the yetzer tov. That's what happens. And Chazal say that a person who sins like a shoyter, in Adam Choyter, we kind of lose our mind when it comes to that taiva. We kind of lose our mind, we lose it. That's how strong it is. And all we have is a ration. All we have is some faint memories from before. All Avodas Hashem we did before the Yetzer Hara came along, the tefillahs we davened, and the Avodah did, just needs a faint memory that cannot really compete with the Yetzer Hara. That's how strong the Yetzer Hara is. That when the Yetzer Hara comes, we don't remember the Yetzer Tov. So we're going to have big, big mysteriousness in life. Even though right now I might feel myself remain strong, I will never do that. But you know, when the Nisyon will come, you must be aware of our limitations. So what is the solution? Keep far away. At least it should be physically difficult to get there. Indeed, we'll have battles. And they'll see Milchama, they may want to go back to Mitzrayim. The solution is, be in the Midbar, at least it won't be easy to go back to Mitzrayim. It is not a guarantee, because later on, they did want to go back to Mitzrayim on various occasions. Not a guarantee, but it is helps. You're in the Midbar, it's not easy to go back. A person smokes, a heavy smoker, and he's told by the doctors, you must stop, you're in a life-threatening situation, you must stop. And he recognizes that. Everyone will tell him, don't keep cigarettes in your cupboard. Get them out the house. Right? Why? But you know, who is the guarantee? Maybe he'll go and buy in the store. True. Yeah, there is no guarantee that he won't go back to his old habits. But having them in the house is bad because it's so easy. He might just on the spot. In a moment of weakness, he might just go and smoke again. Get them out the house. Be far away. A person, right? A person who has to have internet. At least he should have it. He should have it with a what's it called? Sifter. What's it called?
A filter.
A filter, right? Why is it so important? But he, a person would never go to very bad sites. Of course he wouldn't. But when the Yetzer will come, then there's no guarantee, right? So don't make it easy. It's true, anyone could do Averas. You could take the bus to Tel Aviv and do all the Averas in the world over there. It's true, there's no guarantee. A person who wants to do an Avera can do it. But don't make it easy in the touch of, you can hit it with the pressing of a button and get there. That's what the lesson we're learning from this week's parasha, that Hashem says, there's war. And I know I'm afraid that they might wish to return to Mitzrayim. But the solution is, I'm going to take them a roundabout route that if they're Midbar, it won't be Karai. It's not a guarantee, but it's a help. It's the right step. Don't be near the bad. Don't make it easy. Put yourself in a situation, it should be difficult to do the bad. That's what we can do to combat the Yetzer Hara, that when he comes, we're almost paralyzed. That's the lesson we learn for life. Keep away from the bad. Keep away from the smoking. Keep away from all the bad things. Keep away. Be far away. That's an important message you learn this week's parasha.
I don't know if it would accentuate the Rav's point or if it's irrelevant, but one, just with the internet, one thing I would go so far to say is, even without the Yetzer Hara, because like if there's no filters, even just by accidentally pushing the wrong icon, you could go to a site you didn't want to go, you didn't want to go to, or that you thought was a good site, and
right.
that it has so, something, or there's some bad advertisement.
Yeah,
something.
Okay. It's a culture can.
And it's so easy, it happens in
right.
a second.
Right. It's a culture can.
Yeah.
It's more so. Very good. Okay, so we continue in the parasha, and in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud, the Jewish people are seized with fear because Paro Hikriv. In Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Yud, Paro is coming near. Ve'yisuv bnei Yisrael esenehem, they lift up their eyes. V'hine Mitzrayim noiseya achareihem, they see Mitzrayim traveling after them. V'ayiru ma'oid, they get frightened, petrified. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. And they do what the Jewish person does. They start davening to Hashem. Beautiful, wonderful. Isn't that nice? They daven to Hashem. As Rashi brings down, they follow the footsteps of Avram, who davened, and Yitzchak davened, and Yaakov davened. This is the Jewish trait. When we're in the time of sorrow, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Beautiful, wonderful. Now, let's read next Pasuk, the very next Pasuk, and we come to the surprise of our life. After this amazing filler, the very next Pasuk, Vayomu el Moshe, Hamibili en Kvarim be Mitzrayim, are we lacking graves in Mitzrayim? He took us over here. Lokachtanu lomuz b'midbar, you took us out to die in the Midbar. Ma zeisa sisa lonu, what did you do? You, Moshe, loitzionu mi Mitzrayim. This is what we told you, Mitzrayim Nemo. Chadalni menu, leave us alone. V'nabdos Mitzrayim. Let us be enslaved to the Egyptians. Ki toiv lanu avoid Mitzrayim imuseinu b'amidbar. It's better for us to be enslaved to the Egyptians than to die in the desert. What extreme. What's happening over here? The first pasuk says they daven to Hashkosh Baruch Hu. Wonderful. The very next pasuk, they start blaming Moshe Rabbeinu and they say, you took us out of Mitzrayim, i.e. they're denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ma kore kan? What is happening over here? The Ramban asked the question. And I want to focus on the second teretz of the Ramban. He has 40 tirutzim. I want to focus on the second one. Says the Ramban, they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believed that he's there for them. But they had a svara. If indeed HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out of Mitzrayim, it can't be that Mitzrayim is now running after them. Can't be. Lo shayach. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim, and now Paro has come with his army, he's going to reach out, capture us. Can't be. Therefore, it must be that Moshe Rabbeinu took them out. But either saw they saw the Nisim. Must be that the Nisim were there to punish the Egyptians. The purpose of the Nisim wasn't to take us out. It must be that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to control us. He wants to be the prime minister. He wants to be the president. So he took us out because he wants to be in control. So therefore they blame Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, they recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but since they have a kasha, since they understand it cannot be that Hashem took us out and now the power is recapturing us, therefore it must be that Hashem didn't take us out. Moshe Rabbeinu was manipulating the situation. There were all these punishments to the Egyptians for their bad deeds, and Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to take control. That's what he takes us to the Midbar to die. So they complain to him. As I talk to Ramban, that explains this paradox in the Psukim. One moment they daven to Hashem, the next moment they complain to Moshe Rabbeinu. As I talk to Ramban. But it's a mistake. What's the teretz? It's a mistake. The teretz is that you don't understand. What's the lesson we learn from here? You cannot think you understand Hashem. They were wrong. Hashem took them out, and Hashem brought Paroi. What was Hashem's reason? Oh, we now know. Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayminu Bashem, Vayitcha Abdei. Many reasons. But we must recognize our limitations. We cannot understand. The Chofetz Chaim, in a Sefer Shem Oilam, in the third perek, Shar Shmiras HaShabbos, he brings a beautiful mashal. There was once a visitor who passed by, came to a shul, and he was there for the service, and he sees the gabbai giving out the aliyahs, and there's a whole bunch of kohanim, and he skips out Reuven Shimon, he takes that guy, I'll give you the aliyah for the kohen. Then he turns for the levim, he skips out the levi standing, goes to the other side of the shul, picks out the levi from there. Then for Israel, he skips out many Israelim and takes a Israel over there. And the guest says after davening, he says, look, I don't understand the gabbai. I don't understand. Why didn't he pick Ploini? Why did he pick that guy over that guy? What, that guy is less important? And then he skips it. Then why not take the Israel next to him? Why did he turn to a different side of the shul and pick out the guy from there? I have many questions on the Gabba. I don't understand this Gabba. What's he doing? This is what the guest asked. But he was told, listen, Mr. Guest, very nice you come to join our shul. You know, you only came from one Shabbos. If you would stay and be here for many Shabbos, you will see the guy you missed, he's making a bar mitzvah next week. He's going to get Aliyah. Him and his whole family getting Aliyah next week. And the other guy he skipped out got an Aliyah last week. And the guy he took from over there has a yahrzeit. So there are many if you stay for a long period of time, you would see that everything is, there's a reason for everything. The Gabba is doing what he does. Everyone gets his turn, and it's all done with a thought, with a purpose. Just, if you're here for one Shabbos, you cannot understand what's going on. Don't expect to understand all the background when you don't know the background. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the same thing. We come for a week. We come for 70 years. What 70 years? And we have questions on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why is Pliny rich? Why is Pliny poor? And the answer is, how long have you been here for? Are you not aware that Ari says that most neshamas are Gilgal? Do you know that poor man in his previous Gilgal was rich, and he didn't give, and Oni approached him and he didn't give tzedakah, and now he has to come back in a Gilgal to atone for that being Oni? Do you know that? You don't know that. And everyone has the reason for everything. There's nothing being done for no reason. Just we have to recognize we cannot understand. And we cannot think we understand, and therefore that if Pari is coming, it must be that it wasn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu who took us out of Mitzrayim. That's a mistake. Many years ago, I once went to visit, I was in Poland, went to Auschwitz. I was in Eshet Torah, and they went to the group. But in Auschwitz, and there was an old man who brought a group of kids from Israel. He wasn't our group, but he was there. And I spoke to him, "Who are you?" He says, I used to be an inmate in his camp. I'm one of the Mengele twins. I was standing outside the building where the Mengele used to do his experiments on the Jewish twins, and he was there. So I asked him a question, but he misunderstood the question. I asked him, "Are you angry? When you come here, are you angry?" I meant to ask, "Are you angry with the Germans? You see Germans around, you see Goyim, are you angry when you see them?" He didn't understand what I meant. He thought, "Am I angry with Hashem?" That's what he thought I was asking. I wasn't asking that. But that's how he said, "Angry, chas v'sholem." He says, "We don't understand anything." He said that this to his head. "We don't understand anything. We don't even understand how we have a runny nose." So he said, "We don't understand nothing, even the nazelet. We don't understand anything." Chas v'sholem, not angry. And I was so impressed. He's a person who saw the horrors. He lost his family. He was tortured. And here he is. No questions or doubts whatsoever on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We cannot understand what happened and why it happened, and so many people were killed, and tzaddikim and children. It's not possible for us to understand. He said, maybe in a thousand, that's what he told me, maybe in a thousand years' time, we'll understand why we have a runny nose. Maybe we'll understand. But we cannot understand Hashem's Mahalach. It's not possible for us to understand. I saw real emunah, tmima, and pshuta, accepting Hashem's will, even though we cannot understand. So that's the message we learn from this week's parasha, that was the mistake of the Jewish people. They thought they understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore they came to a conclusion, it must be the Moshe Rabbeinu who took them out. That's a mistake. We must accept Hashem's will, emunah, tmima, accept, and try and repent our ways.
What led the Rav to believe that man was angry in the first place?
I asked him, your feeling, you're standing here outside the building you were tortured and you see the goyim around.
Uh-huh.
That was what I was asking.
It wasn't anything in the facial.
No, not at all.
Uh-huh.
But I just want to add, there are things that we can understand. A person behaving in a certain way, not good, and then having some problems.
Okay.
Fine,
but not to jump to wild conclusions that since we understand, therefore, right, we do know Hashem that pave midah connected midah. Of course, we'll try and repent our ways if there's a message to us, but not to go to extreme conclusions and to decide it's not that Moshe Rabbeinu took us out of Mitzrayim. So we come to the Shira Sayam, Oz Yashir Moshe. Says the Medrash. The Medrash is in Perek Chav Gimel Ois Gimel. Omar Moshe Rabbeinu Olamim B'meshe Chatosi Lefonecha, with what I sinned in front of you, Boy Ani Mekalsecha, with that I will praise you. I will praise you with what I sinned to you. When did Moshe Rabbeinu sin? Says the Medrash. It's going back to Parashas Shmos. When Moshe Rabbeinu initially approached Paro and said, "Let the Jewish people go," and Paro refused, and he made things more difficult. He made decrees and no, will not provide any straw anymore, and things came much more difficult. Moshe Rabbeinu davened to Hashem, and he said, he complained, and he said, "Mi'oz u'mi'oz bossi el paroi ledaber b'shmecho heira la'om hazeh." Mi'oz, since then, when I came to Paroi, it made things worse, and you haven't saved the Jewish people. He complained. But with what word? He said, "Mi'oz." Therefore, says Moshe, since I sinned with the same term that I sinned with, I will now praise you with. And therefore Moshe said, "Oz Yashir Moshe." That's the Medrash. He sinned with Oz, therefore he repents and praises with Oz. Oz Yashir Moshe versus Mi'oz Bas Yal Paroi Heirala Omazeh. That's the Medrash. The question is, it sounds like a play of games, you know, semantics. He said Oz. I say Oz. What exactly is the big deal? What's being gained by saying the same words? Says the Beis Halevi, a beautiful Beis Halevi. When a person comes out of a sorrow, of a sorrow, he's been saved, he's happy for being saved, but he tells himself, "Do you know what? It's nice being saved, but had I not been there in the first place, had I not been in the bad position in the first place, then I wouldn't need to be saved." You know, a person's very ill and miraculously he gets cured. Oh, he's very thankful. But had I been healthy, I wouldn't need to be saved. The marshal for this would be, We go on a bus, and the bus driver drives like a madman. He's driving like as if he's drunk, like a meshugana, and he's driving, and boom, he bumps into a tree. The bus is a wreck. Baruch Hashem, we're all safe. But now we're stuck in the middle of the way, middle of nowhere, and the bus driver, he makes phone calls, and he stands on the road and he hitchhikes rides for all the members of the bus. And they all arrive to their destiny safely. Very nice of him. It's very nice of the bus driver to look after us. No, he could have just left us in the middle of nowhere. No, he took a chayus and he made sure everyone would get to their destination. Shkoyach. So what do we say about such a bus driver? It's nice of you to look after us. You know what? If you didn't drive like a madman, you would have driven like a mensch. We wouldn't need you to save us. Therefore, so when Hashem does that tzorah to a person, it's nice Hashem does that tzorah, but you know what? Lo tzarich, Hashem not put us in a situation, we wouldn't need that tzorah. Comes Moshe Rabbeinu and he says, "I thank Hashem for that tzorah, but I also thank Hashem for putting me in a difficult situation. I thank Hashem not only for the bad, for the good, the same way I thank Him for the good, I thank Him for the bad as well. Because through the difficult situation we got that Salah, and now there's been Kiddush Hashem. Oh, Shir Hashem ki go'oi go'o. Now Hashem's name has been publicized. Through what? Through my sorrow, through being enslaved to Paroi, this led to the whole business which ended with Kriyas Yamsov. Therefore says Moshe Rabbeinu, B'meshach atasei mekalsecha, I sinned with Oz, but now I praise with Oz. Meaning, I'm praising you for what happened, not only for that tzara, but also for being the difficult situation. I praise you for that as well. And this is what David HaMelech says. Oidecha ki anisoni vatihi li Yeshua. I not only thank you for the Yeshua, I thank you for the anisoni, for the affliction you put me in. Because that led to the Yeshua, which now I'm closer to you now, I've grown from it. There's been Kiddush Hashem, I've got a chizuk from it. Therefore, not only did I thank you for the good, I thank you in the same fashion, I thank you for the bad. This is a beautiful message of the Beis Halevi. So therefore, even when things are difficult, we have to thank Hashem for everything, for the good and for the bad, because everything has a purpose if you use it right.
Where exactly is this is coming out?
It's a Medrash. The Medrash over here, Medrash Rabbah, on the Pasuk in Perchav Gimel, Ois Gimel.
Perchav Gimel.
Ois Gimel. It's Perek. It's in the Medrash. You won't find it in your Chumash.
No, I know.
But in Perek, in the Medrash, it's Perchav Gimel. It's not Chav Gimel, the Chumash.
Not Chav Gimel, the Chumash.
In Medrash Rabbah, it's Perchav Gimel.
Oh, okay. But it's coming off the Pasuk in.
Of Oz Yashimosha.
Oh, in the Shira.
Right there? Yeah, I think so. Vatikach, so we're at the end of the Shira now. Vatikach in Perik Tezvov Pasuk Chof. And now it's Miriam's turn to say Shira. It says Vatikach Miriam Hanavio Achois Aaron Es Hatoif Yodo. So Miriam Hanavio, who is Aaron's sister, takes the drum, the toif, and she starts to say her Shira. Question is, do we not know who Miriam is? Why is she being called Achois Aaron? You want to tell us who she is? Tell us her parents' name. Why Achois Aaron? Says Rashi, Lefisha Mosar Nafsho Yoleo Keshenitztaro. Since later on in life, Miriam will get Saras, and Aaron pleaded for her. It was Mosar Nafsho Yoleo. He gave everything up for her, to look after her. Therefore, Nikreis Al Shmoi. Since it's Mosar Nafshe, he gave his soul up for her, therefore she's called after him. She's called, we describe Miriam as being Achois Aaron. Now we've had, this is not the first time we've seen such an idea. In Bereishis, Perek Lamed Dalet, Pasuk Chof Hei, we're talking about when Shechem, when Shimon and Levi went to conquer Shechem. It says over there in Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chof Hei, Vayikhu Shnei Bnei Yaakov Shimon VeLevi Achei Dino. That's how they described Shimon. Vayikhu Shimon VeLevi Achei Dino. They take the sword and they smite Shechem, so they're described as Achei Dino. Why are you describing Shimon and Levi as Achei Dino? There are other brothers as well. Says Rashi, "Fishemosru atzmon oleo nikreis acheha, nikru acheha." Since they were moitzer nefesh for their sister, they're called after her. So you have two instances: the person's moitzer nefesh. Aaron was moitzer nefesh for Miriam, therefore she's called after him. And Shimon VeLevi are moitzer nefesh for the sister, for Dina, she's also called after him. She's called Achei Dina. The question is it fair to compare them together? I mean, after all, Shimon VeLevi, they endangered their life. They went to fight a whole city for her. Oh, so we understand they were moitzer nefesh for her. But Aaron, he didn't put his life wasn't at stake. He looked after her. Is it fair to call that moitzer mysterious nefesh and get the same results? We see from here what is mysterious nefesh. Mysterious nefesh doesn't mean putting your life in danger. That is not what Mesiras Nefesh is. Mesiras Nefesh means doing all that you can, giving all you what you have for someone else. That's called Mesiras Nefesh. Sometimes it means endangering your life, if that's appropriate. But sometimes it means doubling for her, pleading for her. They both get the same result called Mesiras Nefesh. And therefore they both, those people you helped, relate to you now. So that's a lesson, message we learn. We can all be Moisa Nefesh. Doesn't mean you have to be in the battlefront to be Moisa Nefesh. Mesiras Nefesh, for anything you have, looking after someone else, helping someone else, the person's is ill, sick, whatever. You can be making an effort for someone else, you look after them, doing the best you can, the most you can to help someone else, it's called serious nefesh. And that's something we can do in our own life. It's appropriate for us to do. I'm skipping to the end of the parasha. And we have the very, very end of the parasha. We have Vayovoy Amalek Vayirochem Im Yisrael Berfidim. It's in Perek Yud Zayin Pasuk Ches. Vayovoy Amalek Vayirochem Im Yisrael Berfidim. What is refidim? What does that mean? Says the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, says, refidim is not referring to a physical place. It's not the name of the place. Rather, Sherifu Atzma Medivrei Torah. They were weak. They were lax. Rafui means lax. It's a weak hole. It's called Rafui. They were Rafi Odeim in HaTorah. They relaxed about the Torah. And that's where Fitim is.
Not weak like Chalash. It's a different kind of a weak than Chalash.
Chalash means someone who doesn't have the power. It means being lax about something.
Okay.
I'm not holding on tight. So therefore, since, says Rashi, Mipnei Shurofi Yodeim in HaTorah, because they were lax about the Torah, therefore, Ba'aleim Hamolik. So that's what caused Amalek to come. So therefore, since we understand that what caused Amalek to come, being lax in Torah, so what's the way to combat Amalek? It's being strong in Torah. Oh, right. And therefore, there's no surprise that who does Moshe send out to fight Amalek? And that's the next pasuk. Vayomer Moshe el Yoshua, b'char lanu anoshim v'tzeiru ilochim Amalek b'mochor. Says Moshe points out, Yeshua, you should go and fight me. Why Yeshua? Says the Or HaChaim, Chofetz Chaim, because Yeshua symbolizes the Milchamta shel Torah. Yeshua is described in the Torah as Nar lo yomish mitoch ha'oil. That's as we described. He's the masmid. He doesn't give up. He's all time learning. So, and it's appropriate. Therefore, the koyach haTorah will fight the koyach harifyon, the rofi yodeim in haTorah.
They didn't get the Torah yet.
Huh?
They
still had. That's what they did. That's what they got. They got in this week's part. They got moral. They got three dinim. They got three things.
Now, even those things, they were weak.
Yeah. Also, they read those yeshiva in by Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. Even if it's trying to do yeshiva, so this is the hetero. It's kol shekin. Kol shekin now, right?
Why is it kol shekin?
If then being lax caused them, even before they got the Torah, they caused them to get a Amalek. So for sure, after we get the Torah, it caused us to get a Amalek.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Now, how is this applicable to us? Because later on it says in the next pasuk, in pasuk Yud Aleph. When Moshe lifts up his hand, the Gavra Yisrael. V'kasheniach Yodoi Gavra Amalek. Says the Chofetz Chaim, it doesn't say, it should be written in the past. When Moshe did lift up his hand, they overcame Amalek. And when he left his hand, it didn't. It says in Loshon Osid, V'kasheyorim Moshe. When Moshe will lift up his hand, that's when they will overcome Amalek. Says the Chofetz Chaim to us, it's in every door. It's in the future. It's in the future as well. In every door, if we will be mischazik in Torah, this will enable us to overcome our spiritual enemies, our Amaleks of every door. And kashianiach, then we'll lose to our spiritual enemies. They can overcome over us. So therefore, this is a message that it's applicable for us as well. And it doesn't say, what's the opposite of Yorim? Kasha Yorim Moshe? What's the opposite of Yorim? Yashpil. Right? To lower. It doesn't say in the Pasuk, Kasha Yorim Moshe? Kasha Yashpil Moshe. It doesn't say that. What does it say? Huh? Yorim and Yaniach. It's enough, you just Yaniach, that's enough that our spiritual enemies can overcome us. You have to all the time be mischazik, yorin, to lift up our hands. That's when we'll be yorin the koach ha-Torah, that's when we'll overcome the amoliks of every generation. That's what we learned just now. The refidim, the rafiyadim in ha-Torah caused the amoliks to come. Yeshua was the one to combat them, because it's Torah, the chizuk ha-Torah versus the rifin ha-Torah. And yorin, it's applicable to every generation. Okay, so now onto the man. Going back to the man. And the Torah describes the man as Ketzvichis Bedvash. Ketzvichis Bedvash. Now, all your children are going to tell you, you're going to ask your children this Shabbos, they'll come home and you ask them, "No, what did the man taste like?" So what's the answer?
Whatever you want
to taste like. Ice cream, cholent, pizza, whatever you want, that's what it tastes like. Okay? Now, Reb Shimon Schwab was once, I think he learned in the Mir in Europe, and he had one Shabbos with the Chofetz Chaim. Schwab. And he says over that he heard the Chofetz Chaim addressing the local people, came to the Chofetz Chaim in Shabbos, and he asked them the following question. We know that whatever you wanted the man to taste like, that's what it tastes like. Ask the Chofetz Chaim, what happens if you didn't think? What happens if there was no thinking? What would it taste like? Okay, you want ice cream, it tastes like ice cream. You want pizza, it tastes like pizza. But what happens if you don't think? What does it taste like? Yes?
Even stronger question would be like that. Some people wouldn't know what anything else tastes like. If you've been in the desert for 39 years, you wouldn't know what ice cream or pizza.
Yeah, don't meat taste like. Okay. So ask the Chofetz Chaim, what does it taste like if you don't think? So the Chofetz Chaim, it had no taste. Didn't taste of anything.
Blank.
If you blank out, it tastes like nothing. So the Chofetz Chaim, the same things for Daf Gemara. Person's learning the Gemara, he thinks, oh, there's so much geschmack in the Daf Gemara. But it's only if you think. If you blank out in the Daf Gemara, then it has no taste. He said, when Mashiach will come, people who anticipated the Mashiach, they'll enjoy themselves. But people didn't, won't have any taste in the Mashiach. That's what he said. But I would like to add what I think was appropriate.
So it's more of a potential than an
inherent. Right, right, that's right. I would like to add tefillah. Tefillah is something, if you concentrate, there's so much there, so much beauty in the tefillah. The word is so powerful. It brings us closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We can ask for our requests. Whatever we're missing is there in the tefillah. We can ask Peter. We're speaking directly to Kadosh Baruch Hu. But if we don't think, we just blank out, we're a tape recorder, then what tefillah tastes like? It has no taste. And it's something we all daven anyway. We anyway daven Shachris Mincha Amar. We anyway spend our time and with the Siddur, turn the pages. It doesn't take any more time of our day just to be concentrated and focus what we're saying. And that will give us taste in the tefillah. That will give us a chizuk and kiruvas Hashem. It's chaval, just to blank out and just turn the pages. It's chaval. You get no taste in the tefillah. It's a time which doesn't have as much value as it could have. Yes?
I mean, I can understand it's chaval. I can understand you lose almost everything. But to say it was not, is there such a thing as tefillah or Torah, even with the
words? So I don't mean to take away what we do. But I'm saying there's so much more that could be done with no extra cost and no extra time, because we're there anyway. Might as well.
The problem is that the Chumash doesn't back up what the Chofetz Chaim is saying. So, I mean,
Why? How do you know?
I don't understand the Chavos Chaim. Because saying Ketzachas Bevach, so it's mashma that with no thought it would be Ketzachas Bevach. Now maybe you would say having Ketzachas Bevach for 40 years, you'd be better off if it tastes like nothing.
So Chofetz Chaim learned that. The Chofetz Chaim learned Pshat and Chumash that when you want it, it tastes like Ketzachas Bevach.
It's a chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim. At least I would say.
It's a chiddush of the Chofetz Chaim. It's a chiddush. I'm asking. Okay, so I carry on. So I'll say one more. Okay, my last point. The man symbolizes paranosa. Hamarbe, people took too much, didn't get. Hamamit, everyone got the same amount, what they were allocated. There's once a villager came from the village, the big city, first time, very impressed with what he sees, and he stands outside the post office, and he sees people walking in, taking out a few pennies, and coming out with a big parcel. He asked him, "What do you have in the parcel?" "Oh, I got here very valuable fabrics, silk fabrics." See someone else walking into the post office, pays a few pennies, and he also comes out with a little box. "What do you have inside?" "And the precious stones that were sent to me." This villager is very excited. "Said, what? For a few pennies, you get these big parcels?" Goes in the post office and he says, "Here are my pennies, give me a parcel." You're off your head. "What are you talking about? We don't give parcels. People have parcels, they pay us schar tircha, and we give them what they have. We don't make parcels. You can't buy a parcel from us. Whoever got sent, the parcel sent for them, so they will give us schar tircha that we shipped it for them. So and we'll get. But we don't give out the parcels." Same thing is everyone has what is nigzarem yeshamayim, their parnasa. Their parcel is there. We pay pennies, the shtadlis. We do shtadlis to get the parcel that we are allocated. But you cannot get, if it wasn't given to you, you cannot get it. The pennies you will pay, the tircha you will do, will not give you something it wasn't sent to you. So whoever must recognize that whatever person is nigzar, that's what he'll get. Therefore, don't waste your time on the pennies, because that's not going to give you if it wasn't sent to you. Yes, Shokoya, thank you very much.
Thank you.